Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Hey everyone, it's Tyler, and I'm back again looking at the differences between Christianity and Islam. I hope you've been enjoying these, trying to learn a little bit more about what other people believe so that it's easier to reach them. The past few episodes, I talked about Jesus and how Muslims view Jesus and how they deny his deity or his divinity. I tried to show you scripture where Jesus proclaims to be God and proves that he is God. Hopefully you can use this, like I said earlier, to witness to Muslims in the future. I wanted to spend a lot of time explaining the divinity of Jesus because this is where Muslims get caught a lot of times, and why they don't believe in Christianity is because they deny Jesus as God. So I wanted to spend a lot of time on that so that maybe it can help you speak with somebody who denies Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he's the path to salvation, and it's important to spread the true Jesus of who he really is. In this episode, we're going to talk about a couple more topics in the Quran and see how they compare to what the Bible teaches. In the past, I've given some crucial differences between the Islamic Jesus and the true Christ from the Gospels. And we discussed how the Quran teaches that Jesus wasn't even crucified, which is clearly false, given that there's even non-Christian sources that speak about his crucifixion. And so the purpose of this episode is to discuss a few more topics that weren't previously discussed or weren't expanded upon. So just wanted to talk about a couple different things with Islam before I moved on to a new series. First, I want to talk about the authenticity of the Quran. Once again, I'm going to tell you that the Quran does not accurately depict the true Christ or the true teachings of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Quran multiple times contradicts the scriptures, which even the Quran defaults to. If you'll remember, there's a verse in the Quran saying if you have a hard time believing the Quran, then to fall back to the scripture and the Torah and to look at those biblical texts if you doubt the Quran. And we can see that things are altered in the Quran or changed from what the scripture says or denied. We talked about how Muslims deny Christ, and most of the gospel is talking about his sacrifice for us and the lead up to his sacrifice so that we can be saved. And this is why I believe that the words in the Quran are not the words of God, and it must be of Satan. Satan knows exactly how to manipulate scripture and biblical stories in order to cause turmoil and confusion among those seeking God. You'll hear this a lot of times in our church, that Satan knows scripture. You look at when Satan tempted Jesus, he used scripture, and Jesus used scripture back to him. So Satan knows scripture, and he knows how to twist things into making certain people fall prey to lies. He's the father of lies. We're taught that in the Bible. So this is why I think that a lot of the words spoken to through Muhammad, through the Quran, supposedly the angel Gabriel gave him these words to write down or to have down. This is why I believe that this is not the word of God, that this didn't actually come from the angel Gabriel, because it contradicts a lot of what is talked about from Jesus and the first, you know, the direct witness accounts and records of his disciples. And so because it contradicts so much, it can't be the word of God. You know, God's not the author of confusion. And so if you try to hold the Quran to the same level as the Gospels, you're going to find yourself, you know, recognizing that one of these has to be correct and one of these is wrong, because they go against each other. There's a huge juxtaposition between them. The Quran teaches about Jesus, but it was also written 600 to 700 years after his death. The Gospels were written in the first century, and they're verified manuscripts that are dated to shortly after Jesus' death. The direct witness records of the Gospel hold so much more validity when speaking about Christ. And I've talked about this before, is, you know, what's more reliable? Something that somebody says about Christ that lived 600, 700 years after Christ? Or what the people said that lived with Christ, what do they have to say about Christ? And so I think there's a lot more reliability in the Gospels and the Scripture as the Quran states. So it's extremely important to remember this, as we need to inform others of the true Word of God. People who are Muslim have fell into this trap, into thinking that these words of Muhammad are true gospel and a continuation of the Scriptures, but it can't be a continuation of the Scriptures if it contradicts the Scriptures. So, like I said, the Scriptures and the Gospels are valid than the Quran. So that's something to keep in mind as we go through this. So the first topic I want to talk about that the Quran talks about is heaven and hell. And you'll see there's a number of similarities between the Muslim view and what the Bible teaches. We'll start with hell first. First, hell is labeled as the fire. And those who are unbelievers and live in sin will be in there. Surah 2, verse 81 says, "But know, those who commit evil and are engrossed in sin will be the residents of the fire, and they will be there forever." This echoes how the Bible describes hell with verses that say, lake of fire and brimstone, and having the example of the rich man in hell asking Abraham, you know, for water when he was tormented in that flame. That's what the verse says. He was tormented in the flame. And so we can see that hell in the Quran is very similar to what Christians believe, as a fiery place of torments. One difference is that the Quran states that hell was created for the unbelievers. In Surah 3, verse 131, it says, "Guard yourself against the fire prepared for the unbelievers." The Bible teaches us that hell was not prepared for people, but for the devil and his angels. But that is the final destination to those who don't have faith in Jesus Christ. So it wasn't prepared for people, but is a consequence of denying God and Christ. They go as an intruder. You'll hear Pastor Mike talk about this a lot. They'll go as an intruder to a place that was prepared for the devil, not for humans. That was one difference that I noticed between hell in the Quran and the Bible. So now let's talk about heaven a little bit. The Quran teaches that the way to heaven is a combination of belief in Allah and works. Surah 2, verse 82 says, "And those who believe and do good will be the residents of paradise. They will be there forever." So those who believe and do good. Surah 3, verses 132 through 138 says, "Obey Allah and the Messenger." The Messenger being Muhammad. "So you may be shown mercy and hasten towards forgiveness from your Lord and a paradise as vast as heavens and the earth prepared for those mindful of Allah. They are those who donate in prosperity and adversity, control their anger, and pardon others. And Allah loves the good doers. They are those who, upon committing an evil deed or wronging themselves, remember Allah and seek forgiveness for their sins. And who forgives sins except Allah? And they do not knowingly persist in wrongdoing. Their reward is forgiveness from their Lord and gardens under which rivers flow, staying there forever. How excellent is the reward for those who work righteousness. Similar situations came to pass before you, so travel throughout the land and see the fate of the deniers. This is an insight to humanity, a guide and a lesson to the God-fearing." So you'll see a lot of that, it mirrors biblical scripture. It says, who forgives sins except Allah? And if you recall a previous episode, I talked about how Jesus claims to have the power to forgive sins, proving that he's claiming to be God. You can see right here that there it talks about the difference between those who enter paradise and those who enter the fire. And so when you think about the servants, we'll read Surah 3, verse 14 through 18. This is about the servants of Allah, those who will enter paradise, once their life is fulfilled. It says, Surah 3, verses 14 through 18 says, "The enjoyment of worldly desires, women, children, treasures of gold and silver, fine horses, cattle, and fertile land has been made appealing to people. These are the pleasures of this worldly life, but with Allah is the final destination. Say, O Prophet, shall I inform you of what is better than all of this? Those mindful of Allah will have gardens with their Lord under which rivers flow to stay there forever, and pure spouses, along with Allah's pleasure, and Allah is all-seeing of His servants who pray, Our Lord, we have believed, so forgive our sins and protect us from the torment of the fire. It is they who are patient, sincere, obedient, and charitable, and who pray for forgiveness before dawn. Allah Himself is a witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Him, and so are the angels and people of knowledge. He is the maintainer of justice. There is no God worthy of worship except Him." In these verses of the Quran, we can see that there's a focus on works of righteousness and even instances of acts of repentance and changing from sinning. Very similar to Christ's teachings. However, there's a key difference, and that is because the Quran lacks a reliance on Christ for salvation. It's very work based and very, you got to believe that Allah can forgive your sins, but it's very work based. As I talked about in earlier podcasts on this topic, the Quran explicitly states to not believe that Jesus was God, nor to believe that He was crucified and that He resurrected from the dead. Their denial and removal of even one of history's most proven events is evident that the Quran cannot be reliable, to say the least. Because what they're saying here is correct, only God can forgive sins. But redemption only comes through Christ. And when you take Christ out of that, there's no redemption, right? Because, He is our salvation. Like I've mentioned many times on this podcast series already, these visions that Muhammad had in the Quran seem to be a distorted version of Christianity, which existed 600 plus years before Muhammad's existence. And it looks like there's stuff that he chose to pull from Christianity, but put a little twist on it to make it different. And said that his version was correct in that not to believe, you know, it says to believe in the Gospels, but it also says not to believe what the Gospels say. So it's very contradictory. And, you know, the Quran even says to not believe people that make the argument that I just made right there, which kind of makes it seem more suspicious and potentially more deceitful. Surah 25, verses 4 through 6 says, the deliverers say, this Quran is nothing but a fabrication which he made up with the help of others. Their claim is totally unjustified and untrue. And they say these revelations are only ancient fables which he has written down, and they are rehearsed to him morning and evening. Say, O Prophet, this Quran has been revealed by the one who knows the secrets of the heavens and the earth. Surely he is all-forgiving and merciful. So it says right there, it pretty much says right there, Muhammad's pretty much saying right there that you're a disbeliever if you say that this came from something else, you know, that this isn't revealed to you, you know, that this isn't, the Quran isn't correct, it's just a distortion of Christianity. And he's saying that they're disbelievers. So the Quran is telling people to not listen to the truth and, to avoid, the Christian beliefs. And I could go into more detail, about what the Quran says, about like what heaven and hell are like. But I think it's most important to focus on what it takes to get to heaven. You know, if we are going to reach unbelievers, I talked about that the Quran preaches on works and, you know, belief. So what is the truth about salvation in the Bible? You know, what is necessary to make it to heaven? And this is I would say the majority of people listening to this are already saved. So, but I just want to allow the opportunity to speak about, you know, what makes salvation, you know, how to get into heaven from the biblical perspective. You know, we heard from the Quran, but what about from the biblical perspective? Jesus came to this world to save those who were lost and from going to hell. You know, Jesus said that he come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. John 3 verses 15 through 18 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believed on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we can see right away that belief in Christ is necessary for salvation. The Muslims deny Christ. You know, they deny his divinity and his sacrifice. In Mark 16, verses 15 through 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So we can see right here that belief in Christ is necessary for salvation. We can also see that confession of sins is necessary. If you don't recognize the need for a savior, then why would you need a savior? in Romans 10, verses 9 through 11, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. In 1 John 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. So, you know, we can see that, you know, that confession is necessary, that the recognition of your sins and the recognition that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior is important, and to confess your sins for salvation in those verses. Peter echoes this to the high priest and the rulers in Jerusalem whenever they ask him, you know, about what name do you do all these works, and those works being converting thousands of men to Christianity. In Acts 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, again, it goes back to, it comes down to Jesus Christ. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And so when you remove Christ, there's no salvation. It's clear that the Bible teaches that it is grace through faith that saves us and not the works in which we do. I talked about how Islam and Muslims teach that it's works and belief, but you know, Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so, you know, this shows that we're saved by Christ, you know, through belief and faith, through faith in Christ, and not by the works in which we do. I mean, the Bible talks about how our works are, you know, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And good works are a result of Christ working through you. Pastor Mike says all the time, you're not saved by works, you are saved to work. Saying that salvation comes through faith and not by works is, you know, so saying that salvation comes through faith and not of works, a lot of people misconstrue that and think that since they're saved, they don't have to do good works, you know, they can do whatever they want. And, you know, the Bible, you know, condemns that. You know, Paul talks about multiple times how, you know, I can't remember exactly where it is, but where he says, you know, since we are saved, shall we continue in sin? And Paul says, God forbid, you know, we're supposed to still do good works, but that's not what saves us. It's Christ working through us that allows us to do the good works. Christ is the one that saves, not the works. In Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is heaven. Your works are an evidence of your faith. So to answer the question, what does it take to make it to heaven? Come to the acknowledgement that you're in need of a Savior. This comes with the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Believe that Christ came to the world for your sins. So you have to believe in Jesus Christ, and you have to believe that he sacrificed for the remission of your sins and was resurrected on the third day. And this is the free gift of God. Salvation is a free gift. that you just have to accept. So we can see that the Bible contradicts the Quran in saying that it's not your works, it's belief in Christ. And the Quran explicitly takes Christ out of the need for salvation. You know, says only Allah can forgive sins, but Jesus claims to be able to forgive sins, and so, you know, therefore claiming that he is God. But it's important to understand that that Jesus Christ is God and was God, and I've talked about that in a few episodes over the past few episodes in this season or series. So that's a little bit about what the Quran says about heaven and hell. And like I said, I wanted, instead of giving a lot of details about what heaven is like for Muslims or what they believe heaven is like based on the Quran, I wanted to go more into detail about, you know, what it takes to get to heaven and what it takes to get to hell, as, you know, vice versa. I wanted to focus more on that, and I didn't dive too deep into what Muslims believe heaven is like, and what they believe hell is like. I talked a little bit about it, with it being the fire, but I wanted to focus more on what it takes to get to heaven and what it takes to get to hell, and those differences. So I'm going to break this up into two parts, talking about the Quran and the Bible. This will conclude this episode, but I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about a few more topics from the Quran and the Bible. And the last two topics I'm going to talk about for the Quran and the Bible is Islam a religion of peace? And I'm going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, because the Quran denies the Holy Spirit as well, and denies the Trinity. Denies the Trinity. So we're going to talk more about that in the next episode, but I hope you're enjoying this. Until next time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell